Ches Teves, Sunday the 20th of December, Rabbi David Tugendhat, Leil 25th and Associated Halachas. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Torah Way participants, Lufur Shlema of Yeled Yosem Shmuel Ben Yael Ne'er Yair.
Shekayach and Yishkayach to the Choshev and Choshev all the nicest. So, the topic Nittel is the term which is often used in halachic works for the 25th of December. We'll discuss that in halacha and agada and related issues. The story is told of a little boy who went to visit his neighbor's house, and the neighbor had a seasonal tree in his front room, and the boy was playing there with the little non-Jewish neighbor, his next door neighbor, and then the fathers met up later on in the day, and the non-Jewish neighbor said to his Jewish neighbor, "You know, your son asks very, very unusual questions." So the Jewish neighbor said, "What do you mean?" So he said, "Your boy, he came in, he saw my tree, he said, what's the lowest height it could be? And what's the tallest that it could be? And is the fairy Ma'akov?" So there are certainly lots of halachas relating to this time of year. So we'd like to share some of them, but Ezra Sashem. So there is a minhag not to learn on, according to many, it's the night of the 25th, Erev, the night of the, right, the 24th going to the 25th, right? There's a minhag not to learn there. So the Chasam Sofer in a Tshuva, Chelek Zayin, Siman Lamed Aleph, says this is the minhag of Roiv Kehilois, that this is the majority opinion not to learn on this night. So obviously the stakes are very high over here, because Limud HaTorah is really the Kiyum HaOlam. And so why is it? It intrigued me. Why should it be that the Chasam Sofer says this is a minhag of Reiv Kehilos? So there are a number of reasons which are given. The Tamei HaMinhagim on page 500 says that the main reason is a very poshut reason, because there were always pogroms on the streets at that time, when the masses were incited against the Yidden, and therefore it was a pachad noiro to go out into the Beis HaMedrash, and therefore one shouldn't go to the Beis HaMedrash on that night. Another reason, the second reason, brought in the name of the Korban Asanel and the Chasam Sofer, that it's mitam avelus, just like on Tisha B'Av one doesn't learn because there's a great avelus. So too, there are those who say Osei Ho'ish was born on at that time, though this is very, very disputed. But they say for that reason, just like we don't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, so too not to learn Torah on this evening, Nittel Nacht. The Chasam Sofer.
For the first reason, you'd be able to learn the Akidus.
Right, according to the first reason.
The second reason depends on which calendar, the Jewish calendar.
Right, 100%. There are kashas on all of these reasons. Number three, the Chasam Sofer says that since they had their midnight mass, so it would be a big kitrug if they were all there worshipping their deity, and Klal Yisrael were busy schluffing. So therefore, the Ikar Takono was to go to sleep at that time, at sort of nacht time, in order that one should be able to get up at midnight and tucker to learn Torah. But instead of saying that we should all be up at midnight learning Torah, it would sound like we're only learning Torah because of them. So therefore, he says that it was subtly instituted that we shouldn't learn in the earlier part of the night, but the whole kavona was to learn after Chatzos. The Bnei Yisoscha says so as not to feed the powerful klippus, koiches haraf, forces of negativity that are around in this night. The Sefer Chaya Yitzchok, a fifth reason, is the Talmud of the Chiddush Yorim, and he brings the Mordechai and Moyen Kotten, that the Mordechai says that Rabbeinu Gershon, the Heiliger Rabbeinu Gershon, one of the Rishonim, that his son left Yiddishkeit. And Rabbeinu Gershon sat Shiva when his son left Yiddishkeit. And in Megillas Tanis, it says the Chachomim made a Tanis on the ninth of Tevis, v'loy noida alma. But it's not written exactly what's the reason. And Tosfos Chadashim says that Oisei HaIsh was born on the ninth of Tevis. So therefore, says the Chaya Yitzchok, that this is really just like Rabbeinu Gershon, he sat Shiva, and when a person sits Shiva themselves, they don't learn Torah for his son who went off. So that's what the Sefer Chaya Yitzchok, this Talmud, the Chiddush HaOrim, says. This is the reason that Klal Yisrael, for this this Jewish boy who went off and caused so much tsar, so that's the reason that they don't learn. An interesting reason, a sixth reason given by the Kedushas Tzin of Bobov on page Kuf Kaftes, says that Oisei HaIsh learned under Bishur. We know that the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us in Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, though it was censored out, that Oisei HaIsh learned under Bishur ben Prachya. And despite the fact that he learnt under such a great tzaddik, he went off. And we see that Lo Yomedrash Hu Ha'ika El HaMaisa, as it says in Novus Perek Aleph. And so by not learning on Nitzolnacht is a reminder that that even if a person has Limud HaTorah, this is no guarantee that they won't go off, just like Oisei HaIsh. And that's why the Kedush Tzina Bobov says that we don't learn at that time. And he says, this is alluded to in Tehillim Kuf Yotes, where it says, Eis Lasos LaHashem, Heferu Seiro Secho. There's an Eis Lasos LaHashem. There's a time that we're supposed to show our action. And the Elohim Medrash, that we can't be assured if there's just limuds going on and there's no maisa, and therefore he favors serosecha. So therefore at that time, take questions later. Yeah, shkoy. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And just get to shkoy. Oh, Oisei HaIsh, the founder of their religion. Thank you. Yes, very good. We're going to get to that. That's one of the shilas, is whether we can say his name. 100%. Shkoy. Thank you very much. Okay. So these are various different reasons why many people don't learn on Nitzolnacht. Why is it called this name, Nitzol? What's the source behind this name? So some say Netzilosoi min ha'onom. Netzilosoi means it should be removed from the world. Others say it comes from the word Nitle, which means to hang, though it does seem to be that he was hung on Erev Pesach and not at this time. Or from the Roman word Natal, which is referring to birth, as in antenatal, since according to some he was born then, so therefore natal nacht. Okay, when is this natal nacht? So the Gemara in Avodah Zorah Daf Ches says that there was always an 8-day pagan festival, Eidehem Ches Yomim Achar HaTukufo. There was a time in the deep winter where there was an 8-day ancient festival of Avodah Zorah. And if a person does a bit of research where their celebrations of 25th of December come from, you see that it's a massive hodgepodge of pagan worship, an ancient Avodah Zorah that was already around long, long before Oisei HaIsh. This was an ancient festival. When was this time? When is it? So because there was originally the Julian calendar, which was started in 45 BCE, and then that was superseded by the Gregorian calendar in 1582. So therefore, the dates of their calendar actually changed. So there's even a machlokes, what is the night that they're supposed to be celebrating? There are different groups in their religion. Yeah. What is the night that they're celebrating? Is it the 25th of December? Is it Erev the 6th of January? Erev the 7th of January? So there's actually a machlokes in different areas. When is this Nitzolnacht? And according to most of the authorities, when the time that people wouldn't learn is from Nacht until midnight. Okay. Now, does everybody hold of this Nitzolnacht? Many people who learn Litvish yeshivas have never heard of Nitzolnacht, because the Chazon Ish was vehemently against it. Because the Chazon Ish said that the main reason for not learning at this time was the first reason, which is because of all the pogroms. And because it was because of the pogroms, it says Baruch Hashem, we don't see that so much nowadays. Baruch Hashem. So therefore, Chas v'Shalom, a person shouldn't learn on Nitzolnacht. The person definitely should be learning on Nitzolnacht. So that's really what the Litvaks many did v'sha'olam hold, as well as that the Yabia Omen Chelik Zayin Simukafe said the Sfardim don't hold this at all. It was never an issue in the Sfardish lands. And also in Eretz Yisrael, there are many deists that say, based on the Ramban and Acharemos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any Malochim who are in charge of Eretz Yisrael. With all other countries, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Malochim who he puts in charge, Sorim of the different Umos, but that doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, even amongst those who Be'etzem do keep Nittel, in Eretz Yisrael, they would not observe these Hanhogas of Nittel, according to many, because it doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. But as I say, this is very, very debated. So we see there are different eders in Klal Yisrael. The Chasam Sofer says this is a minag of Rav Kehilos, and certainly in most of the Hasidish Kehilos, even in Eretz Yisrael, they do keep this. What are the various different minhogim what is it that people would do on Nittel Nacht? So there are many who do business matters that they've been pushing off, or communal matters. There are many tzaddikim who play chess. The Skver Rebbe would play chess, but as soon as it would be Chatzos Salayla, he'd stop, even if he was in the middle of a game, which shows tremendous kayach. And the Vizhnitz Rebbe also played chess. Now, what's the reason behind this? In Nitzig Avriel, on Chanukah, on page Tov Vov, he brings that they'd use this time to sharpen their minds to be able to learn Torah better, and that even the Umas HaOlam would be able to recognize the Chochmah in a game of chess, and that's why they would do that. When I was in the Mir, before Bein HaZmanim once, I remember Rav Hellman giving Vaad, one of the Magidei Shir in the Mir, Shlita, and he said that in Bein HaZmanim you should try and play chess with non-religious people. So he said, why? He said, because if you win, you should say it's because your mind becomes developed in yeshiva. You should go to yeshiva. Yeah, if you go to yeshiva, you'd also be able to win. And what happens if you lose? You should tell them, with a mind like that, you should be in yeshiva. Yeah, and that's what Rav Hellman said people should do in Bein HaZmanim. What most people would do, is they would go to sleep during this period, and then get up later and learn. I saw brought down in the Nitzig Avriel, he brings the Sefer HaGos Minhogim Venezia, page Shin Kavov, and it says that on the night of Nittel, there's a minhag to say Oleinu L'Shabeach, very, very loud, Davka to show that that our Dos is the MS. Okay, so these are a few minhogim and rationale behind Nittel. Now, in terms of some related issues, particularly in Yoni Halocha, are you allowed to say the name of their festival and the founders of their religion? So, I have a Sefer Or LeGoyim, which is on Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and he discusses this on page 106 and page 107, Perek Ches Halocha Beis Tadalit. And he says that it's brought down that the Pasuk says in Shema Yitzchak Gimel Yud Gimel, V'shem Elohim Acheim Lo Yisaz Kiru. You're not supposed to mention the names of other deities. And the Gemara says, Shlo Yomer Odom L'Chaver Shemar Li B'Tzad Avodah Zarah Plainis. Wait for me by this certain Avodah Zarah. And it seems from there, one is not allowed to mention the name of an Avodah Zarah. So firstly, it says, the Me'iri says in Sanhedrin Samach Gimel, Omud Beis, that if it's the Torah Limud, then you are allowed to. So if you're learning about Avodah Zarah, you are actually allowed to mention the name of the Avodah Zarah. He speaks about mentioning the name of the festival that is celebrated in the winter. And he says, Shemos Chagei Ovdei Avodah Zarah. V'shchein Shemos HaKadoshim Shalem Ki Yeshu HaNoitzri Oy Meri. That he says, bringing down from the Mordechai Sefer Emes Tov Tov Tess, that even though you're not allowed to mention the name of an Avodah Zarah, to say Christmas is actually, he holds that it's Mutter, and I think because this Meiri that says that it's, who says that it's Mutter, L'Torech Limud, that you're allowed to. Nevertheless, the Minag Yisrael is normally to say Kratzmach. I was just saying it to be kind of Meiri over here, yeah? But, yeah, shock, horror. But, you can, you, And it's also brought in the Sefer Hayosh and Tofrei Samach Tes, and other places that you are allowed to mention it. Letzorach Limud. They actually bring a raya from the Mishnah in Avodah Zorah on Daf Mem Daled Amud Beis, where it says Merchat Shel Aphrodite, and Aphrodite was the name of an Avodah Zorah. And they were doing it L'Tzorach Limud, so you see that L'Tzorach Limud, it's permitted to do it. So additionally, Kratzmach is not really the name of an Avodah Zorah, even though it contains within it a part of it, which means Moshiach, but the first part of it, but it's not really the name of an Avodah Zorah. So that's another reason why it should be permitted. And he also says the names of Yeshu, HaNoitzri, Omeri, so are also permitted to say. He says Shalei b'loshen chashivus. You shouldn't say it in, you know, as though you're lording it, but otherwise it's okay. And he brings over here in the footnote 6, says atosh sheshem kadoshim shalem kishem b'nei odom ein kapeid b'haskarosom. He says that nowadays people just use it to call their children by this name. I remember walking past in Princess Park when I was in school, in high school, and there was some people playing football in Princess Park there, and one of the boys who was playing football had the same name as the founder of their religion, and there were some other Yiddish boys, I won't say which school, which Heimish school they're from, and they were screaming his name, Yeshu, Yeshu, yeah, they were screaming, they wanted him to pass the ball, and so that was his name. So you see that the name itself nowadays is just used as a normal name, and therefore be permitted to say the names as well. Okay, are you allowed to sell things that they're going to use in their worship? So again, this Sefer Orla Goyim on page 126. He brings that there's a big discussion about this. The Shulchan Aruch in Kufnun Aleph says that it's Osa. Osa limkol anochem dvarim ha'nitzrochem le'avodah zorah shelohem. You're not allowed to sell them things they'll use. For example, their incense, their ketores, that they are going to be using l'shem avodah zorah. However, there were rishonim who did allow one to sell things that they would be using. The Mordechai in Remez Toshin Tzadihei brings the Ra'avia, who allowed selling priests garments which they'd use for Avodah Zorah if they'd be able to get hold of it anyway from other sources. So you'd have a Yiddish man, his geschäft was schmatters, yeah, and he'd be selling the dog collars, and he'd be selling the garments that the galochim would wear, since they could have anyway got it from other sources. And the Ramon actually paskins this way. The Ramon in Simon Kufn and Aleph, Sif Aleph, that you are allowed to sell things that they could have got from other places, even though he brings sheyesh oisrim, but he brings that the minag is lahokol kedivrei Mordechai. So technically speaking, you are allowed to. The minag is lahokol. However, there are yesh oisrim, and the machab of this sefer Orla Goyim says that if it's only a sofek they'll be used for avodah zorah, then it would be mutter to sell. Even according to the first day, which is that it's Osa, if it's only a Sofik, whether they're actually going to use it for Avodah Zorah, and it could be bought from other places, then it's Mutah. Now, a Shaila, which can be Nogea, is if you have a jeweler, and he's selling crosses, yeah? Yiddisha Geschäft. He's selling silver or gold crosses. What's the halacha regarding that? So, there's a Sefer Oitza Piske Avodah Zorah, which also has tremendous tremendous material over here. And he says in Simon Hay that even though the Ramah says that we just saw that Hagam Yesh Oistrim, there are those who forbid it, but the Minag is Noigen Lahokel, that one could sell things that they would use for Avodah Zorah, there's a discussion whether a cross is worse than that, because maybe a cross is Avodah Zorah Mamish. Maybe that is actually something which they actually worship. And the Maskona is that since these are generally Fanoi, they're generally just used for as a tashit, for adornment, for jewellery. He comes out that a person that is muta to sell crosses, hagam bal nefesh yachmir, that there's certainly a mokum to be stringent regarding this. But ein limchos biyadam mekilim kimin shenasel anoy l'tzarech parnasosay muta. That a person doesn't have to stop anybody who goes with a lenient opinion, since at the end of the day it's just done for jewellery and it's l'tzarech their parnasa. I heard once that there was a yid who was thinking, should I, shouldn't I? Didn't know whether he should sell crosses, whether he should be machmir, whether he should be makel, and finally decided he's going to be makel. And l'tzarech parnasa. So he decides he's going to do it. He opens up the phone book and he tries to find a wholesaler of crosses. So he plucks up enough courage and he calls up and he says, I'd like to order 1,000 crosses, please. See, he is on the other end. Yankel, mit Yezel or the... Yeah, with the little fellow on top or not. So okay, another halacha, moving swiftly on, is regarding selling kratzbach trees. Yeah? If there's a market, Rabbi Isai. So actually, Shevet HaLevi in Chelek Yud Simukuf Lamed Beis was asked by somebody who was the head of the residence committee in his block of flats. The residents wanted that he should put, a finer tree over there. And the Shevet HaLevi was asked, is the fellow allowed to? And he was matir based on this ramah, which we saw above, that they could get it themselves. And and it's anyway not mamish. It's anyway, he says it's not even really worshipped or used for avodah zarah. It's just for decoration. No, yeah.
Don't stop the shavuos decorations
because
of that.
So enochanami. It comes from the Asherah for sure. It does come from from the Asherah that they used to worship these trees. But all of these minhagim, they're all very very part of them is based on avodah zarah, but it has very little to do with actually their religion. Even the choshev looking fellow with the white beards. So the red outfit that he has, I saw it's only in 1931 that they decided he should have a red outfit, and it was Coca-Cola. It was Coca-Cola who commissioned the picture of him with the red outfit, and that's why all over the world he has the red bekasher. So also the Shevet HaLevi says there's a concern of Eivor, slight concern of Eivor, if the person doesn't get it. And so if the Shevet HaLevi concludes that it will be mutter for this head of the residence committee to get the tree, he says, of course, if it's all possible, to try and get an akum to do it themselves. Another shaila, which one hears quite often, is you see a sukkah decoration, yeah? And you have these sukkah decorations, the red and green ones, and so they're all made for avodah zarah. Ha, l'shem, right, exactly, l'shem mitzvahs. So in this Oita Piska avodah zarah, he brings also that the Shulchan Aruch Yerodea says in Siman Kuf Lamed Tes, Sif Yud Gimel, that the halacha is that neiros which were used for avodah zarah are not allowed to be used for Neiros Shabbos, they're not allowed to be used for Shabbos Chanukah, they're not allowed to be used in a shul. And also in Aruch Chaim, the Shulchan Aruch says in Kufn and Dalet, Yud Aleph, that if an Eved Avodah Zorah uses candles for Avodah Zorah, and then they're extinguished, also again, they can't be used in shul. However, the Chasam Sofer says in Aruch Chaim Siman Mem Beis, he says that if they were never actually used for Avodah Zorah yet, then they don't become Osa Hazmon Alav Milsehi, just because they've been earmarked for even if it would be for real avodah zarah purposes, it would be mutter because they haven't actually been used. Alachas kama v'kama here, they're not even really being used for real avodah zarah purposes. And so paskas the Mishnah Berurah in Kufn and Dalet Sif Katan Mem Beis like this Chasam Sofer, and therefore Achrayim say that sukkah decorations which have never even been used for kratzmach can certainly be used for for Sukkot, even though there's a chumrah of harchoka me'akir, there's a chumrah that we should really be distance ourselves from things that involve avodah zarah or have a shemetz of avodah zarah. He brings over here in this Pesach avodah zarah from Achreinim that says this doesn't apply over here with these decorations because it's obvious the factories are only doing this for financial profits and they're not doing this for for mitzvah reasons at all.
The sale in January for 75% off is a
little bit lower than Zulu. Oh, right, a bit lower, yeah, a bit lower. Okay.
By your uncle anyway.
Huh? Yeah, your uncle will sell it to you. So, one final point. Is there any remez of this in the Torah? Is there any remez at all of this in the Torah? So, I'll tell you an unbelievable thing that I saw in the Sefer Emunah Sitecha by Rav Moshe Wolfson, Shlita. The Mashgiach of Torah Vadas in America, I should be Gesund und Stark, Bezes Hashem. So he says something incredible. And he says, Azoy, in Vayeshev, page Kuf Chaf Gimel to Kuf Chaf Hei, he says that Yosef HaTzadik was sorely tempted by Eshes Potiphar. And she tried to get him to be over again and again and again. And the Pasuk says, Vayika Yomazer, that it was on a certain day, and that she saw that everybody would be out, and she would be able to be alone in the house with Yosef HaTzadik. And Rashi says, what does it mean, Vayika Yom Azeh? It was Yom Meyuchad, Yom Tzachok, Yom Eid Shelohem. It was the time of their Avodah Zarah. Sheholchu Kulam LeBeis Avodah Zarah. They all went to their Beis Avodah Zarah. Now, when was this Yom Eid Shelohem? So, bringing from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Davov, and other places in Masechta Avodah Zarah, the Yom Eid Shelohem was this Tekufas Teves, was this time of year. It was Dafka this time of year, the winter, the deep winter, that was this ancient Yom Eid Shelohem, and this was why they were alone in the house. Everybody was away, and says the Emunah Sitecha of Moshe Wolfson, that we know in Chanukah that it says that even though the Shekhinah doesn't normally come down, Lamata Miyud, but when it comes to Chanukah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings his Shekhinah down even to the lowest places where you don't normally expect to find him. And that's why the Menorah, technically speaking, would be Lamata Miyud, would be under 10 Tefachim, even though now because of Pirusumei Nis, so many people do it in windows and higher, so many people do it higher than that. But Be'ika, it should really be Lamata Miyud, it should be under 10. And just like on Chanukah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes even in the darkest places, it's the end of the month, it's in the Choshech, it's shining out into the Rishus HaRabim, it's Lamata Miyud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Machazakas in the darkest times. He says, so too with Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, it was the Yom Eid Shelohem. It was the day of their Avodah Zorah, and it was in a Mokum Avodah Zorah Mitzrayim, in a place where he himself was about to fall. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Just like in Chanukah, Hashem brought his Shekhinah Lamata Miyud, here appeared to Yosef the Mustyotne Shaloviv, the Mustyotne Shaloviv, his father's image. Now, where's his father's image? On the Kisya Kovod. Because the Zohar Kodesh says that when they saw the Sulam, Mutzav Aretzot, and the Malachim gave Olim V'yoridim Boy, the Malachim, they saw down here the Tzur of Yaakov Avinu, and they saw up there on the Kisya Kovod, on the Kodesh Baruch Hu's throne, Kaviyachil, they saw the image, Mustyotne Shal Yaakov, they saw the image of Yaakov. And if Yosef was saved over here because he saw the Mustyotne Shelovev, it means just like Chanukah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down to Shelovev, so too here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down his Kisya Kovod, and the Mustyotne, the image of Yaakov, which is on the Kisya Kovod, all the way down to Yosef HaTzadik in this place. Vayehi Kahayoyim is Kaf Hei Yoyim. Kaf Hei Yoyim, he makes a cheshvan that it was on Chanukah, on Kaf Hei of Kislev, that just like Kodesh Baruch Hu comes in his Mechazah Gidin in his darkest place, so too on Chanukah Kodesh Baruch Hu comes down and he's Mechazakas even in his darkest place. And he says, Zeh l'umazeh osa Elohim, that we say Kodesh Baruch Hu comes down all the way in his Mamish with every single Yid. He says, Vayehi Ka'ayoyim is also Kafhe Yoyim is Kafhe December, he says over here, that this is the Zeh l'umazeh, this is the opposing force of Chanukah. They say, no, you have to have a human being who is there, who is this intermediary that you worship this human being, but Rochel doesn't come down, Chas v'Shalom, they say, all the way to us. And that's why Nitzel Nun Tes Lamed is Gematria 89, is the same Gematria as Chanukah, right? Because it's the Zel Umazeh of Chanukah, is this concept of Nitzel. And that's why it says in the Ala Nisim for Chanukah, we say La'amchi Yisrael Osisa Chur Gedoyle of Forkon Kahayim Hazeh, which we don't say in the Purim Ala Nisim. We only say in the Chanukah Ala Nisim to remind us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down even in the darkest places, even Lamata Miyud, and even at the most dark and difficult times of the year, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Klal Yisrael, and we don't need their intermediaries and all of their Avodah Zarah. And this is really what we're supposed to take away from Chanukah, to remind ourselves at this time of year, Atov b'chartonim mikol ha'amim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, Be'ezras Hashem, that we should all be celebrating Emes Dika Simchas and Emes Dika Yomim Tovim with Mashiach Tzidkenu and the Gula Shleim of Mehev Yomeinu Amen.
Sure. Sure. Sure.